Well, guys, if all the decorations around here weren't enough, you're obviously aware we are smack dab in the middle of the Christmas season, right? Was anyone unaware? No, nobody's just now figuring that out? Yeah, no, I didn't think so. The countdown for this started when? Kind of like before Thanksgiving, right? Or at least around, isn't that kind of when people really start thinking about Christmas? You know, starts getting real to them. And with each passing week, what happens? At least I would imagine for many of us that the excitement kind of goes up, right? And we start to see all of the decorations go up and the trees go up, and all of a sudden the stores are filled with people and the malls are, well, maybe you don't like that part, but right, there's people everywhere, and almost everywhere you go, what do you hear? Right, you hear Christmas music every place you go. I mean, it's exciting. And I think a lot of people, especially kids, especially little kids, boy, this time of year, I can remember when I was a kid being so excited, you just vibrate. You know? That's my Kyla. She's that way too. It's like, you know, it's bursting out of every pore. Right? It just ramps up, does it not? As it gets closer. Well, here we are 9 days away from Christmas. And it is all of that excitement, all of the decorations, all of the planning, all of the stuff. It's in expectation of, it's in planning for, in preparation for what? For the arrival of Santa, right? Why are you laughing? You know the song. He's coming, right? He's coming to town. Do you guys not know this song? Seriously? Jim does not. You get coal every year, don't you? He knows if you've been bad or good, right? So be good for goodness sake. You better not pout. You better not cry. You better watch out. It's terrifying words when you really think about it, right? Because he's coming to town, right? You all know the song. Now, I suspect that may be important to a lot of people. But honestly, guys, and the one who's coming I'm looking forward to this evening, he's not coming from the North Pole. And he ain't coming in a sleigh, and he didn't have 8 tiny reindeer. Instead, he's coming from heaven. And he is arriving on the clouds of the sky, Scripture declares. And no matter how you look at it, or maybe you don't think about it that much, I don't know, but no matter how you look at it, his arrival will be awesome. It will be awesome. And guys, the anticipation that we feel as believers in that regard is not ours alone. Did you realize there are millions of people in all of the nations over this whole earth who are eagerly awaiting his return? I don't know if they're twitching. You know, I don't know if they're doing that or not, but they cannot wait for Jesus Christ to come back. And when he does, he is going to be doing what the prophets have proclaimed. He is going to be bringing gifts to men. But unlike Santa, his gifts are not going to be based on your goodness. Right? Santa says you better watch out. Right? Be good for goodness sake, right? Christ's gifts are based on grace and mercy. And because of his grace, I'm here tonight to tell you to make your plans, to prepare your heart, to prepare your mind, to prepare your soul to understand the aspects of his coming, which sets him apart from all of the other people that we might talk about that are coming to town. Okay? Jesus stands apart from them all. And just to get us started, I want to share with you tonight from a few different places in God's Word about his coming. I know at Christmas time our tendency is to talk about his first coming, which is awesome. But I want to take this time to talk about his second coming. For example, I asked you to turn to Daniel chapter 7. Here we have the words of an incredibly wise man who lived a very long time ago. And Daniel was a man who was determined to serve the Lord. And I mean, you know, probably a lot of you know the story, right? Daniel served kings in Babylon. And whenever the king would have some vision or a disturbing dream, he was ringing up Daniel and saying, "Hey, what in the world does this mean?" And Daniel was able to interpret those dreams. But one night, as Daniel lay on his bed, we're told, God gave him a vision. God showed him things. And this awesome display began to roll in front of Daniel's eyes. And Daniel wrote it down for you and me. That's in chapter 7, he wrote down this vision. And I want you to read with me what he wrote. Look at verses 13 and 14 of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel says, "I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." Now, guys, do you understand what you just read? This is going to happen. This that we just read. In a vision, that's what Daniel saw. He saw someone he called the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven in glory and power. And all of the people of all of the nations of the entire world worshiped him. But you know, Daniel's not the only person who talked about this Son of Man and this person who was coming into this world. I want you to turn to another place. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a little church in a city called Thessalonica. And this was a church that was all about end times prophecies. Boy, this was something they liked to talk about and think about. And unfortunately, they also had some ideas that were off a little bit. And so Paul wrote to them, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, to help instruct them in some of those things. But specifically, look at verses 16 through 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to read with me what Paul wrote, thinking back to what we just read in Daniel. Verse 16, Paul says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Well, guys, here we find out the specific identity of this Son of Man that we read about in the book of Daniel. This Son of Man who was coming on the clouds. Who is it? It's the Lord Jesus himself. And I want you to notice, Jesus isn't sending an ambassador, right? He's not sending an emissary or a servant. He's coming himself. And guys, one of the reasons I want to talk about this tonight is because we need to be ready for that. Most of you, when I talked about the fact that Jesus is coming again, you began to smile. And I'm glad for that. But here's the more sober part of it, is we need to be ready for his return. We need to be prepared for that day. So that's why this evening I want to take a little bit of time here to kind of seriously consider this Jesus who is coming again. And hopefully to encourage one another to get excited again, if we're not, about the coming of Jesus and remind us of the importance of having our hearts prepared for His coming. You know, one of the very best parts of Christmas for me, and this has been true for probably the last 25 years or so, has been the fun in watching the excitement grow on my kids' faces the closer and closer you get to Christmas. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about, yes? Right? And if you don't have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you were that kid, right? When you were a kid, you remember that excitement and the expectation as that day would approach. And I loved seeing that in my kids' faces. And they're kind of grown up now, and you know, some of that, they're a little too cool, you know, to be excited about Christmas. Well, Kyla still is still pretty excited, but you know, Jeffrey, he's just, you know, can't show such things. But I loved that. And more than likely, you all can still remember vividly that excitement as Christmas would approach. But guys, you and I, as children of God, we should be even more excited than that. Far more excited. Sure, our kids and us, when we were kids, we get excited about the fact that a chubby guy in a red suit is coming to town and he's got a few gifts under his arm for us. That's exciting. But you and I can be even more excited about the coming of our King, dressed in all of His radiance and riding the clouds of heaven. Did you know that we are even commanded to look forward to the coming of Jesus? It's not presented in Scripture as, you know, if you got some free time, this might be something you want to do. Here's a helpful tip. No, we are commanded to be excited and to be looking forward to the return of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter asks a question. He asks it of those who read his letter. Of course, that's us. We read his letter. But he poses a question to us. He says, what sort of people ought we to be? What sort of people ought we to be? Well, Peter answers his own question in 2 Peter 3, and he says, you should live holy lives. That makes sense. And serve God. Okay, we're with you. As you wait for and look forward to the coming of the day of God. Guys, that right there describes how we're supposed to be. How we're supposed to live our lives. That's kind of a childlike enthusiasm, isn't it? And I think that childlike enthusiasm and excitement was a force that drove the early church. It drove those early Christians. In fact, the last verses of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, John writes this. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, some of you aren't smiling, man. You're making me nervous. This is stuff that should excite us. John, think of it. John hears Jesus say, I am coming soon. This is the same Jesus that John walked with and talked with. It's the same man against whom he leaned at the Last Supper. It's the same man he watched crucified and risen from the grave. And Jesus said, John, I am coming soon. I am coming quickly. And look how John responds. John says, yeah! Right on, Jesus, come, come, amen. He wanted it so badly. And guys, that should be the cry of our heart as well. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, all right, dude. You know, cool off. I'll be excited about it, all right. I'll look forward to the coming of Jesus. But perhaps when we talk about the coming of Christ, it raises other questions in your mind. I mean, I know it does for a lot of people. Maybe you start thinking, well, how is he going to come? You know, how's that going to take place? What's that going to look like? Or when? When is he coming? Or perhaps maybe even why? Why is he coming back? Well, those are all good questions. And I think it's important that we know how the Bible answers all of those questions. So first of all, how will Jesus return? How will he return? I mean, is he going to return, as I just read a couple weeks ago, as the seventh reincarnation of Buddha? I read that. By someone who claims to be a Christian. That's how Jesus will return, by as a reincarnation of Buddha. Or is he going to be sneaking into my house through the chimney? Like some other guy, you know? How is he coming to town? Or is it going to be like a movie that just came out where it's some sort of mystical energy to be called on by those who, like Luke Skywalker, are looking for the Force? Is that how Jesus is going to come about? Well, guys, we don't have to wonder about any of those things because we actually have all of the answers in this regard. The Bible tells us quite clearly how Jesus will return. In fact, Jesus spoke about it himself. I would say that's a pretty good authority on the subject. Jesus himself spoke on that issue. Turn with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 24. First gospel, first book of the New Testament, Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. And I want us to read verses 30 and 31. Here, basically, Jesus is answering this question that I just posed. How will he return? Look at verse 30. Jesus is speaking here. And then the sign of the Son of Man, there's that same term from the book of Daniel, right? And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. That's quite a description, isn't it? Hollywood couldn't green screen this and do it justice, guys. How is Jesus going to return? What will it be like when Jesus returns? Well, God's Word declares that Jesus will return with unbelievable power and glory. And that every single eye of every single person will see Him. There will be nobody going around, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's not like this is going to happen in Perth Amboy, New Jersey only. It's going to happen so that everyone on the planet sees it. Every single eye will see him. And every single knee of every single person will bow before him. And every single tongue of every single person will confess that he is Lord. That's how he's coming back. It's not going to be hidden, guys. It's going to be there for all to see. So hopefully that gives us a little bit of an understanding of what it's going to look like on that day when Jesus comes to town. But that raises an even more important question. Well, maybe not more important, but it's certainly one that looms large, I think, in a lot of Christians' minds. And that is when? Okay, that's pretty awesome, what we just read, and it's going to be amazing, but when is it going to happen? You hear that a lot amongst Christians. Now, the question kind of poses a bit of a major problem for us, because I suspect most of us, we like to be prepared, right? Right? Yes? I think most folks are prepared for Christmas morning. Why? Because they have a deadline to work with. What if Christmas just kind of was sprung on you? How many of us would be prepared for it? Yeah, none, right? I mean, we all know that if we haven't bought our presents, if we haven't done all the stuff that we need to do by Christmas Day, then we are very likely going to really let some people down. We all know that the chance of Santa showing up on December 16th or December 27th or June 12th or whatever, slim and none, right? When's Santa coming to town, guys? December 25th. Well, Christmas Eve, right? In between, right there. That's when he's coming. But the problem that we have when we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus is that we do not know when he will return. We only know that he is coming. Jesus spoke again of his coming. Matter of fact, it's in the very same conversation we just read. Matthew 24, if you still got your finger there. Look at what Jesus says there in verses 36 through 44. In a sense, Jesus is answering the question, when? When are you coming back? Look at verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. Let's stop there. Let me read that one more time, okay? But of that day and hour, no one knows. Now, I am emphasizing this because, unfortunately, for a long time, and it's still true to this day, there are lots of people within the church that they seem just incredibly infatuated with trying to figure out the day and the hour. You guys will remember just a few years back we had a guy. He was all over the news even. Well, the day Jesus was coming back, right? And they just become incredibly focused on when is the day and when is the hour. And unfortunately, there have been lots of people, not just Looney Tune goat tunes like that guy that I'm talking about, but there have been even very respected Bible teachers, you know, who have said things like, you know, if Jesus doesn't come this year, then I just don't know my Bible. Whoa. Now, that's biting off a whole year, but still, that's kind of inferring you know a little bit of the day and the hour, isn't it? What does it say? What did Jesus say? No one knows. He continues. He elaborates. Look, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. That's fascinating. There's only one who knows the day. And that is God the Father. He continues in verse 37. For the coming of the Son of Man, there's that term again from the book of Daniel, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. Now guys, when we read that, you know what we immediately think of? Incredible worldwide catastrophe, right? We think of the flood. And we think, oh, it's just going to be like that. It's going to be horrible. And earthquakes and floods and lightning and volcanoes. And it's just, right? And that's what we think Jesus means. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Okay? Look, he explains. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For, as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. What's he talking about here, guys? He's talking about being ready, isn't he? And what was the issue in the days before the flood? Oh, there were lots of issues. Sin was rampant. It was a horrible place. But Jesus doesn't mention all that stuff. He says they were just going on about their daily business. Where's my next meal coming from? Me and the family, we're going out to eat tonight. Woo, it's great. Where's my next drink coming from? Oh, when is my wedding? When's my next big event? These were the things they were focused on. What should they have been focused on? Two things. There's a flood coming, which they have been told about by Noah. And there is an ark that is built that will get you through the flood. And they went, crazy old Noah, you know? That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he continues to elaborate on this same issue. Look at verse 40. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Again, the issue of readiness. Verse 42, therefore, because all of this is true, be on the alert. For you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at which time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. That makes sense, right? If the thief sent you, you know, a little note saying, oh, by the way, I'll be by at 1:30 this morning and I'll be breaking in the back window, where would you be? You'd be at the back window. You would be there to stop him. That's what Jesus is saying. You would be ready. Verse 44, for this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Jesus is answering the question, when will you return? And his answer is basically, when you least expect me, expect me. That's his answer. Now, guys, let me ask you, what would that time be for you? See, the reason I ask is because Jesus, as he's talking about this, he puts it in the context that it would apply to every person that was listening to him, didn't he? He's not just talking, you know, end times prophecy here. He's not just, you know, waxing eloquent about eschatology. He is teaching those people who are hearing his words. And he is asking them, are you ready? Well, what about us? Are we ready? Or are there things in our lives that are the eating and drinking and getting married and being given in marriage that have so consumed our lives, the day-to-day, not even evil things, right? We're not even talking about bad things, but they have so consumed our thoughts, our intentions, our priorities, our goals, that us being ready for the return of Christ is like, in the back of our mind at best, we barely even give it a thought on a day-to-day basis. In other words, what are the things in this world, what are the events in this world that you look forward to more expectantly, that you prepare for more diligently than the return of Jesus Christ? Now here's, I don't know all your answers to it, but I can say this, every single one of us has an answer to that that condemns us. Because every single one of us have things in our lives that we want more dearly and look forward to more dearly and plan for more dearly than the return of Jesus Christ. It's just easy for it to happen in the day-to-day life. Maybe for some of us, I don't know, maybe the thought that Jesus could come before Christmas morning, before you get all those really cool presents that are under the tree. You know, we're all older here, so maybe that wasn't so much in the forefront of our mind, but maybe for some of our kids it would be. Maybe that would seem horrible to us. I can remember when I was a teenager. I knew all about the coming of Jesus Christ. I'd seen the movies, you know. I knew about the subject matter. And I can remember thinking to myself, this was my first and primary overriding thought when I would think about the fact that Jesus might return at any moment. It was this, but I want to get married. I want to get married, man. I want to have kids. I want that stuff first. It felt like I'd be missing out. Maybe it's a career you want to happen. Maybe it's having a child or a grandchild. Maybe it's getting married or maybe it's retiring, right? Get to relax a little bit. Whatever it might be, whatever our thoughts are, they're basically this. Lord, it's really good of you to come, but your timing leaves a lot to be desired. That's basically what we're thinking. And our feelings and thoughts often belie whether we're ready for His return or not. Jesus said, for this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. When you least expect Him, expect Him. Listen to what Paul told the Thessalonians. Those same guys we read about before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says this to them in verses 1 through 6. He says, "Now as to the times and the epochs," or the times and the ages, brethren, "you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety," in other words, everything's great. Everything in this world is wonderful. I love this place. I'm looking forward to my next day of life. That's basically what that means. It's that same focus that the people had before the flood hit. "While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren," so now he's talking to the Christians, right? He's talking to the Christians at that church. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." Guys, when do people sleep most often? At night. And Paul is making the point that that's, well, maybe some of you don't do it so well, but you get my point. And Paul's making the point here that we are not of the night. When do thieves do all their dirty work? In the dark, at night, right? And Paul is saying, you're of the day. You're of the light. These things should not be something that's catching you by surprise or that you are affected by. Whenever you least expect Him, expect Him. And so according to Jesus and according to Paul, the most important thing is not when. The most important thing is if. If we are ready. Or if we're asleep. That's the most important thing. So, we looked at how Jesus will return. We looked a little bit at when Jesus will return. But what about the why? Have you ever asked that? Why is Jesus coming back? Right? I mean, didn't He get His fill of this place? They kind of gave Him a really horrible going away party. Right? Why does He want to come back here? Well, there are actually two different reasons given to us in Scripture as to why Jesus is coming back. The first one is this. This is my favorite. And boy, I sure hope it encourages you too. Jesus is coming back for you. That's why. You. And I don't mean you generic, like a big mass or a big group. I'm talking about you personally. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe, in majesty and glory and all of that we read about, the radiance and everything we read about. He wants to come back to this planet for you. To come get you. Now, come on, guys, you can't tell me that's not awesome. That the God of the universe is actually mindful of you and so mindful that He will not leave you here, that He's coming back to get you. And it's so very important that we remember that. We need that encouragement. We need that reminder and that reason for Christ's return. Matter of fact, you know, when Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, what were His disciples most afraid of? They were afraid that He was leaving them, weren't they? Oh, I'm sure they had lots of fears at that point. But their biggest fear was that Jesus was leaving. As long as Jesus was there, it was okay. Let the storms blow as long as Jesus was there. But Jesus told him He was leaving. And so as He's getting ready to go to the cross, one of His last conversations with His disciples from John chapter 14. I want you to hear how Jesus encourages them. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, this is what Jesus says to them. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, you may be also." He He's coming to get you. Why is Jesus coming back to this place? For us. But there is a second reason that Jesus is returning, which we certainly don't want to miss. See, Jesus came the first time, and it's what we celebrate at Christmas. He came the first time as a defenseless baby, didn't he? Not even a rich baby. Not even a baby that was connected politically or through influence or wealth. He was a defenseless little baby in a stable with parents who had nothing. The first time Jesus came, he came as a servant, a slave of others. The first time Jesus came, he came as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And in that process, he was beaten and he was rejected and he was spit upon and he was murdered. All by those people that he came to save. So yeah, Jesus is coming back. But this time, he's not coming back as a baby. He's not coming back as a servant. And he's not coming back as a sacrifice. When Jesus returns, when Jesus comes to town, he is becoming in all of his glory and power to rule and to reign as the exalted King over all creation. He's coming back not only to get you, he's coming back to take back what is his. It's this second reason that John wrote of in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 11. Well, he actually didn't write about the reason. John wrote about a lot of amazing things he saw in the book of Revelation, right? But he also wrote about a lot of amazing things he heard while he was having his vision. And that's what Revelation 11 is, verses 15 through 17. Listen to what he says there. He says, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.'" Guys, that is why Jesus is coming back. Guys, not only are we to be thankful that he is coming back for us personally and individually, we are to give thanks to the Almighty God, the one who is and the one who was, because upon his return, he will take his great power and he will begin to reign on this earth. He will reign. Now, this probably goes without saying for most of us, or maybe all of us, but if you look around the world today, it's pretty obvious that this hasn't happened yet. Yes? Now, I mention that not because it's just such an obvious thing and I just need you all to nod your head at me. I mention that because there are actually people that say the opposite of that. For instance, there are views that declare, even within the church, that Jesus Christ has already returned. That all of the prophecies regarding his return, that's already taken place. Well, guys, if this is what the world looks like when Jesus Christ rules and reigns in power, with all nations bowing their knee, something's terribly gone wrong. Wouldn't you agree? So don't listen to that other stuff. If it happens to make your way, if you happen to hear it, it's not true. Jesus is not yet ruling in person, in great glory and power over all of the earth. So contrary to the lies of false teachers and false messiahs, and contrary to any of the false doctrines out there today, Jesus has not returned. Because Scripture tells us what it will look like when He comes back, right? We already looked at that. Do you think that's going to escape anybody's notice? No, it's impossible. Jesus isn't coming secretly, guys. There's even those thoughts in the church today that Jesus will come the first time secret and nobody will know. And then He'll come another time where everyone knows. Well, that's three comings, not two. No, when Jesus comes back, guys, the whole world will see Him. And many of them, if not most of them, will mourn because they will realize who He is. And they will realize who they are in relation to Him. Scripture tells us what it's going to look like, guys. Both the positive and even the negative. But we're told that in that day, lions will lie down with lambs. That's not metaphorical, by the way. If you read about that in the Old Testament, it flat states it. That children will play with poisonous snakes, won't even hurt them. That I think we would notice such a thing, don't you? We're told that nations will no longer wage war against other nations when Jesus rules and reigns. Gee, I wonder if there's any of that going on in our world today. We're told that there will eventually be no more death. No more mourning, no more tears, no sorrow. Guys, in that day, Jesus will rule and reign triumphant. Those are the reasons why He's coming back. He's coming back for you, and He's coming back to rule and reign. Now, guys, obviously, my biggest point in all of this evening, and I know maybe it's kind of a weird thing to talk about this subject at Christmas time, but when I hear that song, Santa's Coming to Town, I love that song, don't get me wrong. I can't help but thinking there's someone far more important coming to town. And I think sometimes we're a little bit more preoccupied with Santa than we are, not just at Christmas, but any things of this world that we get preoccupied with, more than the return of Jesus Christ. And I hope you've gotten that message tonight. We're talking about Jesus here, okay? We're not talking about Muhammad. We're not talking about Buddha. We're not talking about Vishnu. We're not talking about Maharishi Yogi. We're not talking about the Pope. Okay? We're not talking about all the other false messiahs all around this world at this very moment. Did you know there are? I mean, you can go on the internet nowadays and look at them. People who claim to be Jesus Christ returned to this planet. It's a guy in Australia, Alan John Miller. He and his wife both claim to be Jesus and Mary Magdalene returned to this earth. I missed the part about where Mary Magdalene returns, but nonetheless. There's a guy in Siberia, Sergei Topor. Topor, I think his name is. Who also claims to be Jesus returned. There's a guy in Brazil, Alvaro Theus, who claims to... My point is, none of these people are Jesus Christ. None of the things that we've seen have ever taken place. None of these three guys showed up in the heavens, riding on the clouds, with all the world seeing them. Probably none of you have ever even heard their names before. We're talking about Jesus Christ, and yes, He's coming to town. God has exalted Jesus' name above every other name. And one day, every knee will bow before Him. And acknowledge exactly what I've just shared with you, that Jesus is the exalted Messiah and the King. As the Apostle Paul wrote, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, he said, "For this reason also God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, we've looked at the how of Jesus coming, and we've looked at the when and the why of Jesus coming. There's one last thing I want to leave you with, and it's this. And I think this is fitting considering I'm shoehorning all of this into a Christmas theme. And that is that Jesus Christ brings good gifts to His people. We all know the fat guy brings gifts. Get them under our tree and we love them. They're great. We enjoy the presents and so forth. But Jesus brings good gifts to His people. I have no doubt that many of you, you're going to get some gifts that you really want this Christmas. Things you love, you enjoy, you'll make use of them. But guys, whatever those gifts may be, and no matter how wonderful they may be, I can assure you of one thing. Every single one of those gifts will wear out and fade away. Now, they may wear out because you use them so much and they return to the dust from whence they came or whatever. Or it just may wear out because you got bored with the thing 5 minutes after you got it and you stuck it in some, you know, closet somewhere and there it just decays, you know, slowly over time. But guys, there is someone who's coming to town whose gifts never wear out. They never wear out. When Jesus gives gifts, guys, they never break. They're never the wrong size. They don't have to, you don't need a gift receipt. With them, they never wear out or grow old. And the greatest of all of the gifts that He has given us is eternal life. Eternal life. You see, guys, what we had before is eternal death. And He came to this earth so that you could have the opposite. Now, for those who are eternally dead, I would think the very best gift you could have would be eternal life. And it is this that we have been given. The privilege of sharing eternity with Him before His throne, doing whatever and however, whatever it is that we'll be doing in heaven for all time. In fact, James wrote about this very thing in James chapter 1. He said this, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In other words, He doesn't change and His gifts don't change. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits or first gifts among His creatures. You know, when I was a kid, and this will not be a shock to anybody, my favorite part of Christmas, the most exciting part of Christmas, was likely the most exciting part of Christmas for every single child, presents. Right? Presents. Now, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm excited that Jesus is coming to town. I'm excited that He is returning. And I make no excuse whatsoever that part of the reason I'm excited is presents. I am looking forward to the gifts that He will bring. Jesus is coming again. And with Him, He will bring the fulfillment of the very greatest gift that we have ever been promised, eternal life. We read about it, we understand it, we hear about it now. And in fact, in reality, we have received it. But in many ways, we have not fully experienced it yet. It has not been fulfilled entirely, but there will be a day when it will. Never-ending life. No death, no sin, no sorrow, no grief, no hunger, no thirst. Never-ending life with Him. Now, I will admit to you, I do not know the hour or the day when Jesus is coming to town. I don't know when He's coming back. Matter of fact, frankly, I don't know much, period. But here is one thing I do know. He is coming. He is coming. He is coming back for those who have received Him as King and Lord of their life. And when He comes back, guys, there will be no mistaking Him. Not going to be a sleigh and a tiny reindeer, right? It's going to be amazing. He will be riding the clouds of heaven, and His radiance will not just fill this earth. His radiance will fill the universe. always find that interesting. I saw quite a few things lately from NASA where they're talking about just the unbelievable distances that exist in space. And then over the top of that, I think, and the Bible says, His radiance will fill all of it. We can't even conceive of the distances. And His radiance will fill all of it. So guys, where's your excitement level this Christmas? Are you overburdened with things to do? Is that what Christmas has become? You know, just you got more things on your to-do list than your kids have on their wish list, you know, for Christmas? Are you excited about seeing what you're going to find under the tree on Christmas morning? Are you excited about seeing friends and family, maybe people you haven't seen in some time? Those are all good things. They're not bad things, but let me ask you a more important question. Are you excited that He is coming to town? With that in mind, John Peterson has written a poem that I want to close with. I'm not big with the whole in sermons with poems thing, but this is a far better poem than 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Listen to what he wrote. All glory to Jesus, begotten of God, the great I Am is He. Creator, sustainer, but wonder of all, the Lamb of Calvary. To think that the guardian of planets in space, the shepherd of the stars, is tenderly leading the church of His love by hands with crimson scars. The King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, He reigns in glory now. Someday He is coming, earth's kingdom to claim, and every knee shall bow. Guys, I hope that you will all be ready when He comes. Would you pray with me?